Hello and welcome back to Nightmare Lane. Thank you for tuning in, season one. We are so happy you guys are here and listening and participating. I can't express how grateful we are that you guys enjoy our show and that you keep coming back.
We are grateful. It's really awesome. That sounded really robotic. I'm not trying to be robotic. I'm trying to be genuine.
Okay. Sorry. I mean, I believed you.
Oh, good. Good.
Yep. Okay, so some cliff notes. We are launching our Patreon March 1st. So if you guys join us in the month of March, we're doing a sticker launch event. You guys can join any tier that we have and you'll be eligible for a vinyl sticker that's limited edition specifically to our launch event.
Stickers.
Yeah. And if you join even our lowest tier, you'll start getting name credits in the end of the episodes.
Yes. Name credits. Get your name drops here, people.
Pretty stoked about it. Anyway, that's all the updated information I have for right now. Our Patreon is patreon.com/nightmarelane. So if you guys wanted to check us out, that's how you find us. And until then, let's just dive right in.
Splash.
Exactly.
All right, so today's story is we're back to a creepypasta. This is in the public domain, so I can, in fact, use it. It's called 1999. Oh, and it is going to be a two-parter. So we're going to get halfway through, then we're going to stop, and we'll finish it up next episode, okay?
Sounds good. Y2K?
No, 1999.
Yeah, not Y2K. New Year's Eve was Y2K. Everybody was like afraid that it was the end of the world, remember?
Yeah, but Y2K is the year 2000.
I am aware.
Okay.
You obviously slept through all of that cultural.
I did not. I was there for
it. It impacted me at a young age, and so it stayed with me. So I understood the reference, and you did not.
No, I got your reference, but this is not New Year's Eve. This is just 1999.
Specifying what day it was, it could have been New Year's Eve, 1999.
Okay.
And then, okay, reference.
Yeah, splish splash, we're jumping into my story.
Okay.
The year is 1999. That sentence brings me back to my senior kindergarten class when I was 5 years old, where we used to read out the date on the blackboard every single day. The year 1999 exists as... What?
Time out. First, okay. I work in a kindergarten first grade class, so we do that. We read the date every single morning, just calendar, and the kids get to take turns with that. But also, somebody was 5 years old during Y2K. That makes me feel really old. All right, moving on.
You're not really old. We were 12 in 1999.
Yeah, that's 6 years older than five.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not that much older than five.
Feels really old.
Time is an illusion.
Yeah, time is a construct. Age is an illusion.
Okay, fine. Time is a construct and age is an illusion. So don't feel old.
There you go.
Because it's an illusion.
I feel as old as I want to delusionally feel, so you can't take it from me.
That's true. Enjoy your delusion. I'm sure it's making you very happy to feel bad about your perceived age.
It is. It does. And it makes me want to drink wine. Is it too early for wine?
Nope, because I don't know what time this gets posted, but they have no idea what time it is when we're recording. So you can drink whatever you want.
Yay, not getting judged.
But you are of age. So let's make that clear. Oh yeah, because you're old. So this is fine.
Yeah. You don't need to like worry about my age.
Well, I just want to make sure people aren't trying to like, you know, get happy and they're not legal. You gotta be legal, people. One, okay. It's really important for your brain development, because if you drink before you're legal, you're actually impairing brain cells that are still trying to develop.
Which is an entirely different debate if you're asking when you should be legal, depending on the country you're in.
Yeah, should be legal at 24.
And you can drink at 16.
Crazies.
But or not, it's another culture, respect it. Okay,
sake
tell me your story. Though. I prefer soju, which I know is Korean before anybody tweets me.
Soju is sweet, and I can do it in small quantities, but sake is like a really smooth vodka. It's so good. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Enough about alcohol.
Let's get to our story.
The year 1999 exists as a stain in my mind. However, as a memory that will not go away no matter how I try to forget it. 1999 marked the year I lost my first tooth, my first time on a plane, and, unfortunately, the early loss of my childhood innocence. That one memory that refuses to be wiped. It all started with that new, or old, TV. At that time, Pokemon was the latest fad to hit the school. Pokemon cards, games, stickers, and the most popular, the TV show. So of course, every time I came home from school, I would stay glued to the TV until Pokemon came on at 5. The only problem was that my dad watched the news at 5:30, and Pokemon episodes were back to back, which meant I had to miss an episode every day, something I whined on and on about. My dad got tired of hearing me complain every day. That must be why he went and bought another TV. My dad put the TV he bought in my room.
Somebody is bougie.
Now, there's a difference between bougie and silver spoon, but I think we're getting a little classist here.
Okay, well, all I know is that I was more into Yu-Gi-Oh! And Wishbone, and I did not get my own TV. I had to wait around and miss my episodes like any other kid.
Yes, that's true.
Also, how at 5 years old are you? I didn't have a TV at 5 years old, so maybe I'm being judgy. But how are you super into Pokemon at 5?
I feel like the kids in your classroom could be super into Pokemon.
I mean, the kids in my classroom are interested in, like, they like the cutesy characters and stuff, but they haven't seen the TV show, and they're not that into, like, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Squid Games came out recently, and those five-year-olds were super into quoting Squid Games at me. And that's not even made for kids, so.
What five-year-olds were quoting Squid Games to you?
That when I subbed for your class. I'm not going to name the kids.
Those were not five-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. Were they older than that?
Yes, that was high school.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Kids all moving feel the on. Same. My dad put the TV he bought in my room. Unfortunately, it was just an old, small boob tube. Oh my god. Are you complaining about the TV that got put in your room?
Apparently.
An old, small boob tube with rabbit ears, even. It also only had 20 channels available, not including the channel Pokemon was on.
I recall. Oh my lord, only 20 channels?
Well, okay, but it is kind of like, why did you get me a TV that doesn't even tune in to the one show I want to watch?
He just has to adjust the rabbit ears. Don't you remember this?
I mean, I do, but he clearly didn't. So, and his dad didn't help him. So, lame. Yeah. I recall that I didn't care. I was just thrilled. I had my own TV in my room. After surfing through the channels, I came to the conclusion that only channel 2, TVO Kids, was worth watching. So I watched that for a while. It wasn't for another few months until I discovered channel 21. One day, in April, I was flipping through the channels, trying to see if Pokemon was on. I pressed channel 21 into the remote, hoping that there were more channels, and to my delight, there was. My dad was surprised too, but he let me watch it, because it seemed to have a kids program on. The channel was called Caledon, Local 21, and later, I found out it was indeed broadcasted from the town of Caledon, Ontario, a town very close to my city. The shows I saw on Caledon Local 21 looked poorly made, and I never understood what was going on in them half the time. However, as I grew up, every time I thought of that channel, I realized more and more how messed up the shows were, and I had to ask myself, what the heck was I watching? The following is a list of shows and episodes I remember seeing on Caledon Local 21. How I remember such detail even disturbs me. But I guess things like this stand out in your mind for a while. The channel only ran a few shows, probably because it was only operational between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. That's like a TV streamer, but probably evil the way this is going.
Yeah, well, and it also reminds me a lot of Candle Cove.
Oh my gosh, it kind of does.
Yeah. Ooh. That's like, was my first thought. It's like, oh, Candle Cove.
Yeah, it's kind of what I... All right, but maybe not like a demonic TV show because his dad saw it, so...
I mean, yeah, apparently there's witnesses.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's not demonic. It just means that adults can see it.
That's true. Okay. April, 1999. See? Not New Year's. April.
Mm-hmm.
My Bear's Cellar, episode 12. Very sketchy name if you were to look at it nowadays. The show featured a guy wearing a bear mascot costume who would get a new visitor into a cellar every day. It was always a kid.
Nope. Nope.
No, this is just a hard no.
Nope.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
I mean, Mr. Rogers in any other context by any other person would be creepy. I don't need to be in some bear cellar.
Tom Hanks did a good job, though.
He sure did. But anyway, go ahead.
The show was filmed with a camcorder, and not a very good one either. The police asked me a lot of questions about this show. This episode... Okay. This episode started with Mr. Bear sitting at a table playing checkers by himself. He sat there playing for a bit until there was a knock on the door. The camera was then looking up the stairs at the door, where there was another knock. Mr. Bear climbed the stairs and opened the door to reveal two young children. One was a boy about my age, and the other was a girl who looked about 8. Mr. Bear danced in delight and then started talking to the kids. I couldn't hear any of them that well, I remember. Mr. Bear then led the kids into the cellar, which was quite dark, only lit by a small oil lamp on the table. I can't really remember that much more, except him singing a song, which I couldn't hear too well either, probably because of that large bear mask. The episode ended with them playing hide and seek, with the kids hiding in a closet, and Mr. Bear counting.
Creepy.
May, 1999.
So this is like a bad episode of Criminal Minds.
Soup and Spoon. I don't think this was even a show. I think it was more of a special movie thing. All I know is I stopped watching Caledon Local 21 for a while because I thought this show was too stupid. Especially since Pokemon Now came on at 4:30 and 5. I don't remember much of this, but it showed a can of soup and a spoon, both attached to strings, swinging back and forth, as if someone was holding them and dangling them in front of the camera. Interestingly enough, the show was shot in a basement, which looked just like the one used in Mr. Bear's cellar. Like I said, I can't remember much. The only thing I can remember clearly was the end. The entire thing was only half an hour, and just included stuff I found stupid, such as the spoon chasing the soup around trying to eat him. The ending showed a table and about 7 kids sitting around it, each with a bowl of soup in front of them. They were sitting and looking at the camera, but with confused, almost frightened faces. The cameraman then held the can of soup in front of the kids and said, "Spoons ready?" And then it just stopped.
Okay. I'm a little creeped out, but I don't understand. I think it's building and I'm not gonna like what happens next.
I think you might be right. July, 1999. It was summer, and I hadn't watched Channel 21 for a while, until one day when I slept over at my friend's house, and I decided to check it out again. My friend had gotten a TV in his room for his 6th birthday. So we stayed-
Oh my gosh. What is happening?
So we stayed up very late. For us, 9:30 was very late, and watched TV. That's when I remembered Channel 21, and I brought it up to my friend. We decided to see if it was on, and to our surprise, it was. They must have changed the broadcasting time. Mr. Bear's Cellar, episode 23. This episode was entertaining for my friend and me, mainly because it had swearing. However, now when I think of this episode, I realize something was definitely wrong when it was filmed. The episode started with the camera on its side while it was facing Mr. Bear, who was walking upstairs to the cellar door. The camera then blacked out for about a second before fading in, back upright, and facing Mr. Bear. There was also another kid talking to him, but this kid looked about 11 or 12. He was talking to Mr. Bear for a while, but I couldn't hear well, again with the crappy camcorder, until the kid started raising his voice. The kid was saying how it was late and his sister had to go home. You could also hear more voices in the background. I remember Mr. Bear clearly saying, "Get the fuck out, you're not invited," with a deep voice muffled by the bear mask. I remember my friend and I looked at each other and laughing at the mention of the forbidden F word, but the episode got weirder. The kid began climbing the stairs before turning around and saying how he was going to call the police. Mr. Bear began breaking into a run towards the kid, who started screaming and running as well. The camera then cut out, and that was the end of the episode. The channel then turned to static shortly after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is like a serial killer just streaming his stuff out there before the dark web and YouTube.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. Okay, August 1999. I didn't want to watch the Channel 21 after that. In August, I grew more curious to see Mr. Bear's cellar for some reason, though. The last episode I saw of Mr. Bear was weird and had swearing, which also made me think that the show was meant for teenagers. Nonetheless, I flipped onto Channel 21 when my dad was busy. Mr. Bear's Cellar, episode 28. Apparently, this episode had been playing the entire month of August. It was studied a lot by the police. The entire episode was just Mr. Bear sitting in a chair talking to the audience. "Hello, kids. Do you want to visit my cellar? If you do, please write me a letter at this address." The screen was then switched to a white screen with multicolored letters reading the address, and that was what reminded me of the rest of the episode. This repeated for 5 hours every day until September came. Mm-hmm. And guess what I actually did?
He wrote a letter.
Yeah, I sent Mr. Bear, or that sick bastard who portrayed himself as Mr. Bear, a letter. I did it out of curiosity, mostly. My dad was okay with it because he thought it was a legit kid show, but then again, he never saw any of what was on Channel 21, so I wrote a letter using my best writing possible. I think I just said how I wanted to meet Mr. Bear, so my dad sent the letter to the address Mr. Bear said on the show. It stayed on all day anyway for some reason. It took about a week-
Because it takes more than 5 minutes to send a letter.
Yes. But I think he meant the show stayed on all day.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
At this point, I feel like we should be admitting that it's not a show.
Right? Okay. It took about a week to get a response, which I was surprised I did. I still have the letter. I received on August 15th, 1999. The letter read, "Dear Elliot, thank you ever so much for your letter. I would love to have you in my cellar. We play games, watch movies, and go fire camping in the middle of the woods. Come to my house at," the police cut out this address, "Caledon, Ontario, Canada. I look very forward to having fun with you. Love, Mr. Bear."
What's fire camping?
I think it just means they get to go camping, but with a fire pit. Hmm. I know, it's not often that you go camping without a fire pit, so it seems weird that you would...
Yeah, wouldn't be like something special or specified, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe it's an Ontario thing.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
I cannot believe my dad never found this sketchy, because he actually took me to the house. And then that's when the police became involved. Those endless questions, those pictures of terrified kids, the woods... That brings me to why I'm writing this blog. That psycho and his friends did some fucked up shit back then, and now it seems he's trying to get into contact with me again. The entire police thing is coming back. That has brought 1999 back to me, over a decade later. It's happening again.
Wait, they didn't catch him the first time?
I guess not, because it's happening again.
Well, should he be writing a blog about it?
I know, right? I feel like talking about it's probably good for him, but...
Yeah, probably good for him, but it might, like, If the police are involved.
The investigation.
Yeah. I don't know. Weird. So what happened when his dad took him? Oh, wait. This is a two-parter. You're leaving us at a cliffhanger, aren't you?
Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's okay. You warned me ahead of time. I just got really into it. That's all.
Well, anyway, thanks for joining us for this episode.
Yeah. So I'm going to go drink some wine and wait till next week, I guess.
Yeah. Sounds good. Good luck.
Hang okay.
Don't Google thanks. It while you're waiting.
I'm not going to Google it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this week's episode. Thank you so much for being a listener. If you want to support us financially, you are welcome to subscribe to our Spotify or Patreon page. You can direct message us through Spotify or Patreon page if you choose. And we just really appreciate and are grateful for any support you can give, even if it's just a listen.
Well, we got a surprise coming up, you guys. So...
You want to do your PSA?
Yes.
Go for it.
All right. Just remember that whatever you guys are dealing with out there, you are killing it. You are amazing. You are beautiful. You are strong and empowered. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Okay? Go out there and be the boss that you absolutely are.
Kevin, keep up your good work. Listeners, keep up your good work. And stay spooky.